Amen. We'll use today a few verses out of Acts chapter 6. There are actually two parts to Acts chapter 6. This is part number one today. Part number two, we get bloody. We get bloody next week. These are the verses we'll use. There are three parts to it. Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 2, you've already heard. Acts chapter 6, verses 3 through 6. And then finally, Acts chapter 6, verse 7 will bring us to a close of the lesson. I got to tell you something about Mountain Grove. I can't stand the Mountain Grove Panthers. I've spent 34 years developing that attitude, and I have it very well, very suited. For all those folks listening on the radio, don't turn it off yet. Now, everybody laughs and chuckles about that, and everybody knows exactly what I mean, but boy, we get in that football game, and I'm an Ava Bear fan to the very end, to the core of me. And when Mountain Grove excels and does extremely well, it rips my heart out. I feel bad. They have a quarterback, and I think he graduates, just an outstanding athlete. And we'd chase him all around the football field. He'd run here, he'd run there, and he'd throw a pass, and they'd catch it. I'd get just mad as a hornet at them. And basketball season, they got a basketball team that nearly won the world. I mean, they were outstanding. They were really good. They beat the tar out of us. Can't stand Mountain Grove. Baseball team won state championship here the other day. Colton, remember that? Terrible thing. Terrible. I can't stand Mountain Grove. And you guys are grinning from ear to ear thinking, amen. I mean, the loudest amen I get today would be that right there. And we all know, and we all smile, and I'm here to tell you, I know some of those kids from Mountain Grove, and they're just like our kid. They're no different. They're good kids. There are some bad ones. There are some bad ones in Ava, too, aren't there? And it doesn't make any difference whether you're a Gainesville Bulldog or a Seymour Tiger or whatever it might be. We understand that we can develop certain feelings about certain groups, and it can be kind of negative. And as a matter of fact, we tend to encourage it as adults. I can't stand them Mountain Grove Panthers. Our kids hear it, and by the time they get into high school, they can't stand the Mountain Grove Panthers either. And they wouldn't be able to tell you what a Mountain Grove Panther was if their life depended on it. But they know they don't like them. Now, the sad part about this, and these are just kids, and it's just a game, and hopefully you're grown up enough to understand that. But I'm here to tell you, it doesn't take long being around human beings to understand that we don't like certain kinds of people. We don't like them. Let me tell you something about what the military does, and Scott will tell you a whole lot more about it. In order to be able to kill your enemy, you got to learn to hate them. You got to learn to minimize them. You got to learn to departmentalize them. We call them the gooks if you're around in Vietnam and all kinds of other names. And you can come up with all those names that we ascribe to those people that we've been given the assignment to kill. That's part of the mentality of getting to the point of being able to do that. No right or wrong here. That's the reality of what it is. Human beings tend to develop prejudices. And that's not a 21st century discovery. That is the reality of the way that we are. Now, that does not make it right. It doesn't. But it doesn't change the fact that Jack will have certain kinds or groups of people that he does not like for whatever reason. And each of us, if we're honest and true to our hearts, have certain things that we just really don't like. Fill in the blank for whoever you are. And you are that way. The difficulty sometimes we have as we talk to people and we try to convince them that you need to become a Christian is we carry that air that we're better, that we are superior, that we're above all other people. That we don't make mistakes. We don't do things wrong. We don't have prejudices. We're not that way. And by the very statement that we're making, we're the most prejudicial people in the world. Have you not heard? The only people going to go to heaven are those who are members of the Church of Christ. The only people. And you know that by talking to them. Because that's the way they act. That they are superior and better than. And that they've gotten this little group and that's it. And nobody else going to get in. Now, I'm not going to the theology involved with it. I just want you to understand it is human character nature to be prejudicial. So what happens in the first century church? Because people hear the gospel call, the good news about Jesus Christ, His death, His burial, His resurrection. In Acts chapters 4 and 5, we get into now the reality of the apostles going about and then being warned, don't do it. And keeping to do it. And then being warned, don't do it. And keeping to do it. And all of a sudden they're having the tar beat out of them. Almost to the point of wanting to be killed. That was last week. And someone said, leave them alone. Their leader is dead. And if they are human in nature, they'll peter out and be gone. But if they're not, do you want to be the one who stood up to God and said, I'm going to stop you? Now that's hillbilly for what Gamaliel told the leaders of Judaism. And the church grew. It's where we ended last week. But now what we have to get is a sobering wake-up call to the reality of human beings. Because you would think that seeing Jesus dying on the cross, seeing Jesus walking on the water, seeing Jesus as He raised the dead, seeing Jesus as He healed those who were lame, who could not see, who had leprosy, hearing His words of blessed are the poor in spirit, all of that would just sweep everything away. And that if you were a follower of Jesus, you'd be perfect. Acts chapter 6 verses 1 and 2. Now in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplying. Now you got to remember, in those days were right after they beat the tar out of the guys and told them, don't you dare do this. And they did it anyway. They got up and they proclaimed Jesus Christ. Some of them with eyeballs that were swollen up. Some of them maybe they had an ear almost torn off. But they were up there proclaiming Jesus Christ and what He had done. In those days when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint. This inside the church, this is God's family. These are the followers of Jesus Christ. These are the ones that are sitting at the feet of Peter, James, John, those guys that we call the apostles, the who's who of Christianity. The best of the best, the purest thinkers there are. You see how quickly we get the elite established? And all of a sudden we start thinking everything's hunky-dory, has got to be all right. There arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. A couple of points here. Number one. One of the first things we learned that made the church so successful is we took care of one another. Emily, if you had a need, if you were without food, if you didn't have a place to stay, if there wasn't somebody assisting you with something, somebody else in God's family would come over and help. That's what happened. That's how it worked. Matter of fact, there was this guy who sold a piece of land and gave every bit of it to the church. Remember that? We've now studied this. And it is that family. It is that feeling that if Jack needs something, I'll come help. If Don needs help, I'll come help. If Robert needs help with something, I'll come help. And if we are hungry, we feed one another. And if we are naked, we clothe one another. And if we are weeping, we weep with one another, console and care for one another. And that's what makes God's family grow. Not only in the first century, but now. Amen? This is how we grow. This is how people want to be a part of Ava's family, of the Church of Christ in Ava, Missouri, of God's church, of those who follow Jesus Christ because we care about one another. Look what happens. In the midst of doing that, Jack does not like people from Mountain Grove. And Lawrence over here is from Mountain Grove. Actually, Lawrence's widow is from Mountain Grove. I don't pick on her because she's not. I could have picked on Doyne, but that would have made her feel bad. Now, gain hope. He's not dying today. But Jack doesn't like folks from Mountain Grove, and so here it is. Instead of making certain that she gets something to eat, he's not going to pay any attention to her. Now, she is a Christian. She put on Jesus Christ just like Jack did. But because Jack doesn't like somebody from Mountain Grove, she didn't get any food. Every day, Jack's going around making certain everybody gets food. And all of a sudden, he says, well, if Laura's in this bunch, I ain't going to have anything to do with her. Not going to have it. She ain't going to get anything. Go back and read what it says. Now, in those days when the multitude of the disciples were multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists. The Hellenists are those who aren't Jews from right around there. They are Jews from Greece or other places. They are Jews that no longer live in Jerusalem. I wonder how they got dispersed. And if they were Greeks, I wonder who might have carried them off. A guy by the name of Alexander the Great might come into mind. And his armies that might have taken slaves back from around Israel and scattered them to places like Greece. Some would even have been at Rome. Go read Acts chapter 2. When you get that list of all the different people who were in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, they were Jews from all over the world. So you got all these folks here and they need help. But because you're not from right around Ava, you're not a Douglas County resident, all of a sudden you're getting second shift here. This is Bible. Acts chapter 6 beginning in verse 1. Because their widows were neglected. So who do they complain to? If you ever been an elder, you raise your hand. Because you know exactly how this works. All of a sudden somebody's complaining about something. That's a story for another day, isn't it? But the apostles have this responsibility right now. What are the apostles doing? Well, they're preaching Jesus Christ, Him crucified, the death, burial, and resurrection. Everywhere they turn, they're being beaten because of the preaching they're doing. And so, they turned to these guys. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, notice this, I've turned it black, underlined it. It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Notice what they didn't do. They didn't turn to the Hellenists and say, shut up. Be quiet. Just be satisfied. They didn't turn to the Hebrews and say, what is the matter with you? What's wrong with you? You guys are doofuses. Didn't do that. All they said was, our business is to go out and tell the story of Jesus. And if we start waiting tables, that's going to take us away from telling the story of Jesus. Right? And if you expect a person who is doing one job to stop that job and go do something else, then you are withdrawing that ability to do that job, aren't you? So what happens? Beginning in verse 3. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. There's a job to be done. And that job is to make certain that Laura gets something to eat. Because Jack over here needs to be hit up the side of the head. Now, he didn't say that. But what he did say to Jack is, we're going to pick out some guys and they're going to be certain that Laura gets fed. Jack, you hear that? Jack's sitting over there in the corner. Lord, I need mother. But then he picks out 7 really good people that they really like, that are pretty smart, that know the Word of God, that are filled with the Spirit. That can mean all kinds of things. Probably they have a miraculous touch of stuff that's real possible in this first century time for these people. And it pleased everybody. But we, that is the apostles, will continue ourselves praying and to the ministry of the word. In other words, let us keep doing our job. We're going to go out and do these other things. Does this say that what they're doing is any more important than making sure that Laura gets food? Doesn't say that at all, does it? It just says we need to go do this, and we need seven guys that can come do this other thing. Why did the church grow so much? First, they taught the gospel in its true simplicity. And second, they loved one another so much that they took care of one another. And without that love of everybody, that feeling of goodness of becoming a Christian goes away. Goes away. Because all you guys want to do is talk about the Bible. All you want to do is talk about the Bible. You want to talk about the Bible. Jesus loves me, this I know. And yet I go hungry and you don't do anything to help me. How much are we like that? Or are we that family that when somebody needs something, even before they know they need it, we're there taking care of them? That's what these 12 asked the family in Jerusalem to do. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. That's the whole congregation. Even old Jack back there said, well, I guess if we got to feed the gals from Mountain Grove, we will. I just don't want to have to go do it. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith. We'll get to him next week. And the Holy Spirit. And Philip, Procurus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas. Don't you love the way I ran over those names? I ran over them. A proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. That's a good practice for the elders to do. And when we have appointed deacons here, and I've inserted that word, it comes later in the story. It's a good thing that we do that, because we do. Designating these men. So let's just say Rick back there, Stephen, and the elders as they're presenting these, the apostles in this case, as they're presenting these, reach over there and they grab a hold of Rick. They put it on his shoulders and they pray over him, pray with him, with the whole congregation watching. And what they've done is they've designated Rick as the appointed person to take care of Laura, because his dad, Jack, refuses to do so because she's from Mountain Grove. But that's what they did. Book, line, and chapter. Right? Now, because of this, not an accident. Verse 7, then the word of God spread, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the people were obedient in faith. See what happens when you stay on course, when you stay on track, when you do two important things? You preach the good news of Jesus Christ. And then you get people to take care of one another. And you ask certain individuals, make certain that this happens. We cannot continue to grow. We will not succeed unless we have people who are willing to roll up their sleeves and make this family, family. You can have all the people on the planet baptized in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and you're going to lose the vast majority of them unless you love them just like Jesus loved them. We get in God's family because of the love of Jesus Christ. We stay in God's family because we love one another. And in the first century church, in this baby church that is growing, what made it work was the willingness of people like Rick to take care of Laura, even though she was a widow from Mountain Grove. What is amazing is over time, Rick and Jack both got to love Laura. And they discovered it didn't make any difference what town you were from, what color you were, whether you are a boy or a girl. And that was one of the toughest ones to break down. Didn't make any difference. Jesus loved you the same. And if we're having a problem growing in this family, you either aren't getting the word properly, or we are not doing a good job of loving one another and caring for one another. Because if we're doing both of those, we will grow. Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. If we start growing, when we start growing, we're going to have trouble. Somebody's going to need something. Someone is going to feel left out. Someone's going to feel like it's just not the way it ought to be. And someone in this family has to step up and say, I am here for you to help you. I want to be God's family in Ava. Don't you? The only way for that to work is for us to stay true to the Word of God, to preach the gospel, to be instant in season and out of season. That's book, chapter, and verse. That just means stay with it. When things are good, when things are bad, get the Word of God out and preach it. And preach it to everybody. And invite people to come and let them hear the good news of Jesus Christ. But once that's been accomplished, and once we get them here, they got to feel like this is where I want to be. Because those people love and care for one another, and they are doing things that show that love for one another. And the only person in this room that can do that is you. Four fingers pointed back at me, right? Well, three. The thumb straight up. The only person that can make that happen is you. That's it. Otherwise, it does not happen. We will preach the gospel and do the best we can to get the word out. You bring those to come and hear it and to open the word and to study it. And when they respond to it, they need to feel like here we're family. And we love one another. And we care for one another. And we do whatever it takes to make certain that members of this family are cared for. Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. We need to grow. And the only way we're going to grow, the only way we're going to grow, is to tell the story of Jesus.